England and Wales from next year. It's after the murder of Rani Uday in 2018, who was killed by her ex-husband despite repeated calls to the police. Other measures include responding to victims with video calls rather than a home visit. Detective Chief Superintendent Emma Banks is from Kent Police.
Victims tell us the fact they've got a choice empowers them. It gives them that opportunity to tell officers there and then. We can also then use the evidence that we achieve on that call directly. It can get sent through to an investigating officer.
Former Labour Minister Harriet Harman says Sir Keir Starmer's making things worse by trying to justify accepting free gifts. He's accepted things like football tickets and clothes worth more than £100,000. The family of a man who took his own life after suffering complications from a COVID jab are calling for reform of the vaccine damage compensation scheme. John Cross couldn't move after his first dose, but has felt he wasn't disabled enough for a payment. His son Philip wants the system changed.
There's no way that Dad could put his full experience in that application form about being in hospital for 7 months during the height of the pandemic, being ventilated for 3 weeks.
The Department of Health says the COVID inquiry will consider reforms to the scheme. Israel says it's carried out airstrikes on southern Lebanon, hitting Hezbollah targets. The militant group's leader said deadly explosions targeting pagers and walkie-talkies earlier this week crossed all red lines. Shoppers returned to Britain's high streets last month with summer discounts and sunny weather boosting sales. The Office for National Statistics says the amount we bought rose by 1% in August. Scientists have found that picky eating is largely influenced by genes and peaks at the age of 7. Researchers found food fussiness starts during the toddler years. That's the latest. I'm Laura Safe.
I don't know what to do!
Advertise on this radio station, you'll get noticed straight away with an effective campaign that's memorable
and not a lot to pay.
Get in touch and we'll pass on all the information, then benefit from being a part of this, your local radio station.
To advertise here on Marlow FM, click on marlowfm.co.uk/advertise.
Looking for a local trustworthy builder? Then look no further than NK Building Services. Everything from extensions, refurbishments and renovations to bathrooms, kitchens and landscaping, serving the surrounding area and up to a 30-mile radius of Marlow. For a free estimate, contact NK Building Services on 07984 372 261. That's 07984 372 261.
Marlow FM.
You got the cinema.
I just think you're cool. I dig everything. Do you think I'm cool?
Welcome to the Good Morning Marlowe show. This is the parenting show today with myself, Emily Guyver, and I have a new co-host today. So unfortunately, Julie Greatwood, who I have co-hosted with for the last couple of years, she's been running the show for many, many years. Julie's moving on to her own new show. So I have a new co-host that is in the studio for the first time today, although you've been a guest, Sophia. So this is Sophia Berman.
Hello.
Welcome, Sophia. Thank you so much for agreeing to come and
join me. It's such a pleasure. I'm so happy to be here, Emily.
And I think, you know, what's brilliant is the work that you do and, you know, the work I do, we work very similarly. So we're both very passionate about parenting and supporting families.
So
we'll have lots, you know, moving ahead, we're going to have lots of wonderful shows planned, similar to what we've had before, with, you know, lots of support for parents of, you know, children of all ages. So, yes, so this is Sophia.
So lovely to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's brilliant to have you here. So, and we've also in the studio today, we have Jennifer Hall, and we were supposed to have Zoe Hatch as well. Unfortunately, she's not very well, so she's been unable to come in. But Jennifer is going to hold the fort. and Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in. So primarily, we're going to talk about lots of different things today, but we're going to talk initially about Singing Mamas, which is absolutely fascinating. It's an amazing concept and thing, you know, support network for parents. But just to introduce you first, could you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hello, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited. First of all, can we send our love to Zoe? I hope you feel better soon, Zoe. I'm sorry you're not here with me. I was looking forward to doing it together, but here we are. So my name is Jennifer Hall. I heard about Singing Mamas about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and it really was like a light bulb went off, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the missing piece, because I've had quite a varied career. My background's actually performing. So I was living and working in London, being a jobbing actor, really. And I was kind of saying in the break, I feel like I've done pretty much every job there is out there. I've worked in most industries, which is really interesting to see how different industries work, how the personalities come through, how the office politics show up. It's really, really interesting. And it's also been really good for me in regards to working with people. I absolutely love working with people. I find people fascinating. So, so I would say I'm a people person, and that's kind of where it came from. I love telling stories as well. I think that's a huge part of the reason I went into performing, you know, particularly being moved by a story and seeing something new and having an experience that changes you. You walk out of that cinema or you walk out of that theatre a slightly different person.
Yeah, there's something magical.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's like just, it can be so powerful. And I'm not necessarily talking about those kind of pieces that are deliberately trying to be political or whatever, but actually, you know, humanity is complex, we're complex, and, you know, why a person or a character might make a decision is really fascinating. So I really loved that kind of feeling in the background.
You can identify, can't you, when you watch things and you see those stories, and you can identify perhaps with your own story or the story of a loved one. That can be quite powerful as well, can't it?
Yeah, and actually that's a sign of a good performance, right? Because they've got you in, they've hooked you in. There's an amazing acting coach who I was very privileged to work with, Ivana Chubbuck. She's one of the Hollywood acting coaches. She's a really incredible woman. Really, she's got such insight on, you know, people's work, way they work, and modus operandi, you know, that kind of thing. She's a really fascinating woman. And she talks about the idea that you're letting your audience into a secret. Everyone wants to be shared with a secret, yeah. So I was living and working in London, jobbing actor, lots of different jobs, lots of different acting work, most of them, you know, like low budget, fringe theatre, you know, those kind of things. And as I was getting older, I realised that I was looking for more kind of my, you know how your values change. So when I was younger, I was looking for variety, I was looking for excitement, and as I got older, I was looking for a little bit more security. It's really interesting how your values shift, and sometimes life can change us, and our values can shift overnight, but sometimes it's more of a gradual process. And my husband and I moved out here about 2 years ago, and in that process, I was looking for something that would give me a sense of fulfillment, a sense of helping people, again, working with people. And yeah, when I heard of Singing Mamas, it was like, bing, 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 bing. Oh, where has this been? This is exactly what I'm looking for. And I really look forward to sharing with you why I'm so passionate about this not-for-profit organisation. And the leader, the founder, Kate Valentine, is a really incredible woman. So I'm looking forward to telling you a little bit about her too.
Really, yeah, really looking forward to hearing about it, because it is, it's a fascinating thing, concept to have launch and to be able to get involved in. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think what's nice, so it's essentially it's a group, but the group is for mums, and it's focused on the mums. It's not necessarily about the kids, and obviously we really want mums to bring their kids along because they love it too. But how often do you get mother and baby groups that are focused on the mums and the mums' well-being? And you know, we allocate time for tea and cake at the end.
Oh, I mean, that's the
priority, isn't it? Yeah, that's the best bit.
No,
yes, it could be. There's something really powerful about that. And I actually have, in my journeys, I've been doing, you know, bits of life coaching. I've worked in health and wellness. And so with that, I've brought, that's kind of why I mean it's like this missing piece. I've kind of brought this with me. And so I'm really looking forward to connecting with women who are looking for that little bit of extra support. They're looking for that community. And, you know, to help people signpost them in the right direction, you know. Singing Mamas has actually been recognised by the NHS as being a part of the, you know, the five steps for mental well-being, and that's really powerful because if the NHS recognise it, then the government and the local trust can recognise it, and then we can talk about getting funding and bring it to more people. So that's kind of why I'm here, really. I just want you guys to know how great it is.
Amazing. Well, we're going to play a song, and then I want to hear definitely more about that. So this is one of yours, actually, Jack Johnson, Better Together. Is there a story behind?
Well, top of my list is my bestie. You know, it should be my husband, of course, but it's actually my bestie, Sarah. We've known each other from school, and we did the back backpacking thing. Oh, and this is our song, Better Together. She is just the most amazing person. I think she makes me a better person. And I think that what I really, really wanted to kind of share is this idea of people around you who see the best in you, and that's really what you want to do. You want to find people who kind of give you the benefit of the doubt, and the people who are cheerleading you even if you're having a bad day, and the people who believe in you even if sometimes you don't feel like you deserve to be believed in. And when I was doing, you know, working with life coaching and actually being coached by life coaches, they shared with me this great analogy. I wonder if I can share it with you now. It really, really helped me. So if you imagine you've got a triangle, and at the bottom corner, on the one corner, is like justifications. So you're like full of justifications as to why things have gone wrong and why you haven't managed to do that job application or why you haven't managed to be on time again, you know, whatever the justifications are. And then the other corner, the other bottom corner, is like stories, maybe stories from your past, stories about how you've been misunderstood, stories how, you know, things haven't worked out for you in the past. But at the top of the triangle, that is growth, that is change, that is becoming who you want to be. And so that's what I really found that really helpful, just to think, am I in growth right now, or am I just giving another story and just excuses? And I think letting go of those stories and letting go of those excuses can really help us make changes.
Amazing. I love that. And this is Sarah listening, or is she going to listen and listen again?
I don't know. She's been invited. I'll give her a buzz.
All right, this is for Sarah.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions in my heart. Why are we here and where do we go, and how come we're so hard? Not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Just might find their way into my dreams tonight, but I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do, but if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between, with only two, just me and you. Not so many things we got to do, or places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.
That is a lovely song.
Good time.
Such beautiful words about your best friend as well.
Yeah. But
yeah, having best friends, just people around you that love you, warts and all, is just incredible.
It's kind of like it's a little bit sad to say, but you know, like this idea of a pebble and it's got all these rough edges and then the sea smooths it down. That's kind of, I feel like, what she's done. She's just helped me so much over the years be, you know, more considerate and more kind and more patient and more understanding, and just all these lovely qualities she's got that I, you know, don't necessarily have straight off the bat. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's a great person.
Amazing. Oh, well, yeah, that's really lovely to hear that you've got someone, championing. Oh, gosh.
Championing.
That's the one. It's Friday. I worked overnight last night. I'm very tired. Yeah, championing you. I'm going to give up on that.
Don't say it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So anyway, moving on. So Singing Mamas was founded by Kate Valentine?
Yes.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about her and how you sort of touched on how it started, but...
Yeah, so Kate was a single mum. She's got three kids. I think we're talking about like 12 years ago now. They were quite young. And she was just struggling. So she talks, the experience that she talks about that really changed her was when she was at a festival with the three of them, and the youngest couldn't sleep. She just couldn't settle it. And so she went for a walk and she found a tent of singers. It was quite early in the morning, and they were all kind of gathered and singing and just really joyful. And she kind of came into the room and they welcomed her in, and they put the baby on the floor in the center of the group. And they sang around the baby, and the baby settled immediately, obviously. It was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they just had this really special moment where the baby was, you know, appreciated. And it gave Kate an opportunity to join the group and to sing and to not feel self-conscious. Mm-hmm. She like many of us, have stories around our voice, around our ability to sing, maybe even our ability to be heard or our worthiness for being heard. And so she joined this group singing and just found it so incredibly moving and powerful and just incredible. So she basically was like, I need to do this again. And so she tried looking around for different groups and different choir groups. And as I've said, you know, a lot of mother and baby groups are focused around the baby. And so she said to a friend, you know, I'd really like to find a group that do this, you know, where we can just sing. And the babies, obviously, we want them to be a part of it, but we want to be singing, you know, for them and singing for ourselves and singing together. So it's not about singing nursery rhymes or Baby Shark or Frozen.
Yeah.
It's about singing, you know, lullabies and folk songs and maybe even pop songs. And, you know, so she confided in a friend, and the friend said, I found this group. So she invited her to her house, and she went to this house, and there were a few other mums there and babies and stuff. And then after a few minutes, she realized they're all kind of looking at her and waiting. And then her friend leaned in and said, go on, Kate, you know a few songs. Why don't you teach them to us? And that was it. That was the start of Singing
so
Mamas.
Been completely
set up.
But obviously her friend had faith in her.
Like I said, sometimes we need those friends who believe in us.
Hang on. This was a group that wasn't already set up. It was just set up for her to walk into and...
Yeah, her friend...
Oh, my golly gosh.
Her friend invited some mums and set her up so that she was the teacher.
You've got to be good friends, haven't you, if your friend has to survive that.
So she started in a front room of a friend's house, and then it built over time. And she was working, her background is nursing, which is really incredible because that obviously informs the way that Singing Mamas has grown. So it started, and it's only, I would say, I think she would acknowledge maybe the last 8 years that it's really become a bigger company and more of a focus on building and growing and spreading the word and training new people. And it's about, at the moment, it's about getting it into every local authority, getting every NHS trust, every local authority, every, you know, area to know who Singing Mamas are and to, you know, help support the growth of it. But also for those ladies out there who are looking for a little bit of extra or a, you know, something that's going to work with their lifestyle. Maybe they want to train to be a singing mama too.
Mm. And is there scope for people to do that, to start groups?
Yeah. There's a huge demand because Kate's still doing the training. Yeah. And so there's only actually 4 weekends a year that she can do the training. And the demand is much higher than that.
Right.
Yeah, I think it took me about 9 months to get on the next training course.
Wow.
Gosh. Yeah. It's that really incredible. It's really incredible training. Yeah.
What are the local offerings then of singing mamas around here? Obviously yourself, right?
Yeah, and Zoe, mm-hmm. who I mentioned before. There's a little bit further north towards kind of Buckingham. No. Yeah, towards Buckingham area.
Is
Katie? Let me look that up because I don't want to misinform. But basically there's a... On the Singing Mamas website, so if you wanted to go to singingmamas.org, there is a tab where you can find your local group, and it is growing all the time. All the time it's growing. And you can see who in your area is running a group. And, you know, maybe you know someone who's got little babbies and they're not in your local area. You could actually find who their local leader is and, you know, give them a nudge. So
the nearest to here in Marlow is Zoe's group?
Yeah, Zoe has a group in Sands.
And that's actually this side of Wickham, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then your group is in Prince's Risborough?
Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking Zoe's got two groups in Sands. I'm in Prince's Risborough. There is a really gorgeous little yoga studio on a farm. It's called the Yoga Barn. And it's on the way to Prince's Risborough. You just go off to the left, it's Lee Road, and it just takes you amongst some farms.
That's
and
Thornderton
and
way.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, Thornderton, yeah. And so I'd met the owner of the Yoga Barn. One of my other strings to my bow is sound healing.
Yes,
so
I'd
approached her about a space to do a voice bath, and we'd built this relationship, and I really love the studio. It's so beautiful, and it's got like the cows are in the field, and the pygmy goats are just there, and the chickens are just there, and so it's really, you know, it's a really incredible venue. That's where I've set it up, and you can, you know, in the summer months we can open the doors, and you've got the fields and the woods in ahead of you, and it's a really, really special space, and I can't hear any traffic. All you can hear is wildlife. So that's a part of what I'm looking to create as well, like a really beautiful space where, you know, mummies really want to be there. They want to come, and there's something kind of magical about it. That's what I'm looking to create.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And that's not far from here either. So
no, about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. So, okay, so Kate set up Singing Mamas and then is obviously spreading it. But like you said, I guess the difficulty is that NHS is great, but it's all different trusts, and so it's not something that can just be spread out straight away. So each Singing Mama coach or each area have to kind of get their trust on board.
We have to show there's a demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the onus is actually on us as leaders. So it's a little bit like a franchise in the sense that it's up to us to get everything up and running, but it's a not-for-profit, so it's obviously a different structure. But in that sense, it is each leader has taken on their own responsibilities. So they're the ones who find the room. They're the ones who work out the price point. They're the ones who do the marketing. They're the ones who learn the songs. So you're kind of given that initial training, but then it's up to you what you do with it.
Which I think is the case for most, you know, franchise businesses that are like that are aimed at sort of parents and parenting.
But if you can imagine, Kate is off doing the bigger stuff. Mm. So she's about changing legislations and changing laws and getting real recognition. She's a really interesting person to follow, actually. If you want to follow Kate Valentine on socials, she's often in London at these, you know,
big conferences.
Yeah, and, you know, she'll give us like a little snippet because she's with, I'm trying to think of an example, you know, like a big organisation who are known for music, but their music in a more traditional, classical way, and she's wanting them to recognise Singing Mamas, which is like the other end of the scale.
Mm.
But singing for well-being, music for well-being, we have to accept that it works. We have to acknowledge that it really does change people's lives. It really does help people. And so how can we not just know this ourselves amongst our peers, but also get it recognized so that with that comes funding and with that comes support? And that's really what we want. We want support for mums who are struggling. So it's creating a safe space where mums can come, and it doesn't matter if they haven't slept, it doesn't matter if they're wearing their pajamas and the kids are crying, and, you know, it does not matter. We even have a joke, you know, there's no such thing as late in seeing your mamas. You can turn up just for the cake. And we just come, it's safe, we're here to help you. We want ladies of all age groups to feel able to come. It doesn't matter if you haven't got kids or if perhaps you're a grandma.
Okay, so you don't have to have babies or small children.
No, because if you imagine when the mummy comes and she's completely exhausted, isn't it lovely if a granny can just lean in and let me help you here, you know? And you can just, please, I don't know what I'm doing with myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's that idea that it takes a village.
Oh, gosh, so right. The whole time you were talking, I was just, like, loving every word you were saying, because it is so true what you say about how, oh, gosh, the postnatal period is something that isn't thought about antenatally, unfortunately.
So no, then it focuses on the birth, isn't it?
It can be a real shock, you know, when you come out the other end, when you're spat out the other end. And I know firsthand the effect music can have on your body. Just, you know, just in its most basic form, you're at a barbecue and your favourite song plays. Mm. Certain people just go, oh my gosh, I love this song. But then also, oh God, you know, I was in a band years ago, and literally 2 weeks before our sort of big gig, I got the flu. And I never get the flu, but I still had to go to the rehearsals. For those 2 hours that we were rehearsing, I forgot I had the flu. Because even though I sounded like I had the flu, just making music has such an amazing effect on your body. Mm. I love it.
It really does. It really does. We're going to have another song, but I want to come back to that because I think, yeah, music is powerful in whichever way you feel it. It's incredibly powerful. So this song, Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now, Starship. What's the story behind
that?
Well,
this is for the husband, isn't it? Oh, bless him. I mean, that was our first dance song.
Aww.
And I think that's what it's about, isn't it? When you get married to someone, you're like, okay, let's make this, let's build something together. And yeah, I think it's such a classic. You can't help but dance when it's on.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Just follow.
Oh, that is a lovely song. That is really, really lovely. How long have you been married for?
Ooh, on the spot.
Oh, sorry.
Seven years.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And we were just talking actually during that song, weren't we, about values and how different people can be. Mm. It was really fascinating what you were saying, actually.
Oh, thanks. I've been really interested in personal development and this idea of kind of learning more about yourself and also how you can show up better. And I've done quite a lot of work with a really incredible coach called Dr. Rowe. Dr. Rohan Wersenshi.
Oh, wow.
I would say really awkwardly because we don't call it, we saw he's Dr. Rowe. And he's a real legend who's been a life coach for such a long time, and he's got an incredibly strong community, and the people that I've met through him have just been really important to me. And he basically changed my life in so many ways. One of them is drawing my attention to values. So you can do an exercise and you can put compare values and work out which are more important to you, and from that you can identify kind of your own blueprint and kind of what your little rules are behind the scenes that you didn't even realize. And it's actually really common that values might conflict each other, so it might be that variety is really important to you, but also security is too. And so you're finding that you're looking for a new job because you want more variety in your life, but also you've got to make sure the job covers X, Y, and Z because that's the security that you're looking for too. And often it can show up in more subtle ways as we're growing and we're changing, we're entering different phases in our lives. These values can shift without us really realizing. So I do think that it's a very powerful exercise to do. He actually has it in his book, The Turning Point, Dr. Rowe, The Turning Point. And when I did that exercise, I did it actually with him in a seminar a couple of times, and it was slightly different each time. And I did it when I worked through his book as well, because we do change, we do grow.
I was going to say, maybe just with time we change, don't we? As we go through our lives and we... maybe our values change. And I was thinking when you were saying that about you might have values that centre around variety and security, but then you can also have a couple or two people who have those, and they kind of almost conflict a bit, don't they? Because security is stable and usually and kind of, you know, the same, and it needs to just stay the same, stay static, whereas variety has more risk with it,
yeah.
So there's less security. So if you have a couple where one person is very set and stable and this is what you do, and then the other person's kind of like, yeah, but I need to do different stuff.
Yeah.
I guess that can cause, I don't want to say conflict, but difficulties or you know.
Yeah, and actually that's what's really powerful about doing the exercise. Understanding your values helps you work out which direction you want to go. You know, there's this job that's been basically offered to me on a plate. Why is it? I don't want to apply for it. Why is it? It's not right. Right. If you know what your values are, you know, it's like a lot of companies do it as a kind of manifesto of, you know, where they're going and what they're doing. So sometimes you can read the company's manifesto and be like, that's not right for me. Mm. But like I said, singing Mamas, it was like, this is it, you know,
yeah,
ding, ding, ding.
So you felt really
the word I'd use is aligned. I felt really aligned with their values and what they're looking to create and the direction they're going. And like I said, Kate Valentine and her approach is very much, she's such an authentic person. She really... it is so heart-led. It's really beautiful. When you hear her speak, you really genuinely believe that Singing Mamas is going to be becoming a household name. It is going to help so many women who maybe don't even at the time they join the group, maybe they don't realise they're going to need it. And as the community grows, as the relationships grow, that's when you've got that buffer for when you really need it.
Hmm. So for someone, we've been talking about Singing Mamas a lot, but for those of us who haven't ever been to a Singing Mamas sesh, what can you expect? You roll up at this beautiful yoga barn with chickens. Mm. And and you know, what do you expect? You walk into the hall, and how does it work? Is it like a 2-hour thing?
It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an hour of singing. I would hope the first thing you would see is my smiley face. And yeah, and I can have a cuddle with a little babby while you settle yourself, if you like, very much so. And so what we do, every group is different, as I said. So for my group, I welcome the mummies in. We encourage, we've got like bolsters because it's a yoga studio, so we can sit on the floor, we can sit on chairs. And we've got like a space in the middle where there are a few toys and little scarves that are quite fun to whisk in the music. And just a few little things to keep the babbies and the toddlers interested. And then the mummies can sit around it, around the circle. And I would say it's quite nice to start with something gentle. We consider that nobody is a singer. You know, we're not looking for a performance. We're just looking for, you know, a joyful experience, a chance to just kind of, like you said, feel that benefits of singing, feel the benefits of...
The
vibrations and everything. Yeah, we can talk a little bit more about that later, yeah, if you like. So there's a little bit of a check-in, maybe. How are people doing? What was your story? How did you get here? How did you manage to free yourself up to come and join me today? What's the experience that's taken you here? And for some people that could be super easy, and for other people it could have been a real challenge get that 90 minutes to themselves, and obviously bringing the baby too, but for themselves, you know. Maybe they've had to organize a childminder for the older sibling, or maybe they've really had to make sure they've you know, got themselves up and ready, or, you know, everyone has their own story to coming into that room. And then we want to encourage people to kind of let go of the real world, let go of that story. And the songs are really simple. And what's really nice is you can build on them as well, because I wouldn't really consider myself to be a singer. I really love singing, but I didn't go down that path in the kind of performance world, because I would say it's really confidence. We've all got those stories, haven't we? So I had some stories from school that held me back and made me feel like I wasn't able to... you know, the direction of performing, you would call it musical theatre. So I never chose to go down musical theatre, because although I have quite a strong singing voice, I didn't have the confidence. So again, we've all got these stories around singing. What's your story, you know? And so we want to just not press any of those buttons. Let's just enjoy the experience. Let's just share, what about this song? And, you know, it's quite a simple one, and then we can turn it into a round. And call and repeat is quite a good way of starting as well. So I'll sing a line, and then they just sing it back to me. And if they don't feel able to sing, they can hum, they can clap. They can just make the sounds.
Do you usually do more than one song? Or do you just go with what the room wants, you know?
Yeah, normally I would hope to get maybe 5 or 6 songs in an hour.
Amazing.
Yeah, and obviously the more your ladies have been, the more they're already, you know, familiar with it.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the ability to make it more complicated as people feel able, but we're looking at, you know, reading the room and seeing what people are ready for, you know. If people aren't ready for harmonies, we're just going to stay to the tune, and we maybe turn it into a round.
Do you find you get like a group that start to get to know each other, and so they become quite glued together?
Yeah, that's the magic, isn't it? And really that's where we're heading. The idea of creating this group where they've got the 30 minutes afterwards for the tea and cake, you really want them to be bonding and finding their support, so that when they show up that day, you know, maybe they've had a really difficult week. Maybe stuff hasn't been going right. And they know, for me, mine's on a Tuesday morning, right? So they wake up Tuesday morning, they're like, I can't do anything, I can't go. And then there's at the back of their mind, they're like, if I go, I'm going to see these people. These people are going to be so supportive to me. They're going to be so kind to me. I'm going to really enjoy it. I know that I'm going to really love it once I'm there. Can I get myself there? And that's what you want. You want them to push themselves to come, even if they've had a bad day. Mm-hmm. There's an expression in the coaching world. You might not need the meeting, but the meeting might need you. So if you've had a really good week, you might be like, oh, I don't need, I'm feeling so great, man. I don't need singing mamas. I feel so great. But actually, if you can bring that great, that amazing energy, high vibe energy to the room, you could really help someone else, and vice versa. If you've had a really bad week, you need to put yourself within that environment where people are there to lift you up. Have you heard the expression, you're the average of the five people you spend most of your time with?
No.
That includes salary.
Oh.
Yeah, you're the average. So think, who do you spend most of your time with? And it's really interesting. So if you can spend more time with these kind of people, it's going to really have a huge, huge effect.
That's amazing. We've just got to play another song, but I want to hear more about that, because I didn't know about that, and you didn't see it either. I'm going to play She's Like the Wind. Patrick, I love this song. Patrick Safety. What's the story behind this one?
So this is dedicated to my little cockapoo. Her name is Jerry.
Oh.
She is a wild one. We have, oh my goodness, she's such an amazing, amazing little being. Having something so incredible brings so much light. Oh. Everyone who has superpowers, everyone who meets her loves that, even people who don't like dogs.
Oh.
And this is kind of a little comedy one, really, because I was thinking, she's like the wind. She runs so fast. And also, one of the lines is, I feel the breath on my face.
Oh, that's a dog thing,
and,
right?
Oh, my God.
Right,
it's like anyone who has a dog knows. It's not dreamy at all. It's not romantic in any way.
Oh, but cute still. She just loves you.
Like the wind through my tree, she rides the night next to me. She leads me through moonlight, always will burn me with the sun. She's taking my heart, she doesn't know what she's done. I go insane.
is a lovely song. Next to your lovely Jerry. Jerry?
Yeah. Jerry, yeah. Jerry dog, yeah.
Oh, cute. And how old is Jerry, actually?
Oh, she's 8.
Oh,
yeah.
So she's not a pup.
No, she was part of the deal when my now husband asked me to move in. I was like, I'll move in, but we need to have a dog.
Oh, you have the dog.
That was part of the deal. Actually, and interestingly enough, because I'd worked with Dr. Rowe and I was really interested in this idea of the values, I asked him to do one of these training weekends with me because I wanted us to understand each other better, and that was really amazing.
Doing
your values exercise and doing like this kind of personal development work with your partner, again, it's like, oh, that's why they keep, you know, that's why they get so upset when I'm late for things. You know, it's really interesting when you understand people's values.
Yeah.
It helps you be less upset with them when they've reacted, or maybe in your mind overreacted. Maybe you think, why do they react that way? You know, but if you understand that, you know, timekeeping or efficiency or security is such an important value to them, you can kind of understand how you might have accidentally pressed their buttons.
I see a lot of things for various reasons from a sort of a neurodivergence point of view. So I often think, you know, I understand when people perhaps, if they're autistic or have ADHD, that so for some people, yes, being on time and the structure and the rigidity and the regularity of something might be really important. But yet somebody on the other end of that scale that perhaps has ADHD might struggle with time blindness or executive dysfunction. So I sort of come at it from a slightly, but it's really fascinating talking to you about values because actually it completely ties in. It's the same thing. Well, it's not, but it essentially those whatever, you know, that person prioritizes or sees as their value, it might be something that it's just their strength or perhaps a weakness. It's so interesting, isn't it? I find the whole, anything to do with life coaching and personal development, like you say, is just, and it's huge. And we should all work on ourselves. I've always said, you know, everybody should have therapy. I think, you know, therapy is so valuable for anybody. Like, I don't think there's anyone in the world that wouldn't benefit from it in terms of, you know, understanding why you behave and other people around you might behave the way that they behave.
Yeah. And well, that takes me back to the analogy I used right at the beginning of a triangle. Like, when you're in therapy, that's when you're able to have the excuses, you're able to have the justifications, you're able to have the stories, and you're able to really go through them. Brené Brown talks about this idea of rumbling with your story. So you move through your story in the kind of way like a marathon runner might push through the pain. You're moving through these really hurt, painful experiences so that you can come out the other side and let go of them, because as we're carrying them around through us in our life, they are just holding us back, and we're literally, you know, carrying them with us. And if we can learn to process that and to accept it, no matter how hard it is, by accepting something, we're just not forgiving it, we're not saying it was okay, we're just allowing ourselves to let go of it. You know, if you had another expression, if you're angry, this is how I learned, so I'm such a visual person. So if you're angry with someone, it's like holding a hot coal ready to throw at them, or, you know, drinking a poison expecting them to die. The only person it's hurting is yourself. So how can you take ownership of this experience so that you can, in a healthy way, push through it? And like I said, we're not saying it's okay, that experience, but we're saying I'm going to be beyond this. I am going to move through this.
Because the person you're angry with probably has absolutely no idea and doesn't care anyway. Or maybe they do, but they don't. It's only you that is being affected
hurt day in and day out. Yeah. And I think if we can add another layer to the values thing, what about beliefs?
Yeah.
So often we're living our life with these beliefs that we're treating as fact.
Yeah,
we're going around saying, oh, you know, well, I can't go up those stairs, I have to get the escalator. I can't go to bed early because I don't sleep at night. I can't get up in the morning. Whatever it is, we've got these stories that are beliefs. They're just stories we keep telling ourselves. And if we can identify it as not a fact, but a belief, suddenly we're empowered to make a change. Suddenly we're empowered to, do you know what? I'm going to find a way of discrediting that belief. Mm. I'm going to find a way of undermining that belief because I know that that belief is not helping me. This is where I want to go. And this belief is conflicting with that.
I literally was having this conversation yesterday. I went for a dog walk with a friend, Kate, who actually runs Seed Wellness, which is a big wellness network, and she's amazing. And we were talking about exactly this internal chatter. that isn't necessarily true, and you know, and it can absolutely hold you back. And she was recommending, you'll know about this, I'm sure, The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer. And she's listening to it on, I think, Audible, but I guess it's a book as well, right?
Yeah.
So, and she was just saying it's just incredible. And I think she's very familiar with the work, but it's sometimes you have to kind of go back, don't you, and re-listen to stuff or relearn things that kind of make you remember that, this is absolutely limiting. It's not, it doesn't mean it's true just because I think it.
Interesting enough, if you listen to an audiobook, you need to listen to it 8 times for it to resonate in the same way reading a book does.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love listening to podcasts, and I'm literally the queen of voice notes. I mean, it's a bit of a joke amongst friends. It's like
I love a good voice. I like podcasts on their own.
Emily's left me.
Yeah,
20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I don't think I've got into double figures yet. Oh, I feel cheated.
Oh, Sophia, I'm going to leave you a lovely long one later. But yeah, I love. I guess, and I do want to talk probably after the news about your voice bus, because I think the power of voice is also really, really powerful. But I think, there's a temptation if you're listening to something to also be doing something else. Whereas if you're reading a book, you can't also be driving and cleaning.
But that could kind of be a good thing, because your subconscious is always kind of aware, and it could be that you hear something in that moment that you need to hear.
Mm. Yeah,
but in that moment, if you hear it, maybe you need to take a second, and you need to acknowledge that, and maybe you need to send that text message to that person, or you need to sit down and write that letter or whatever it is. So sometimes we're being guided, and so we hear things and they resonate in a new way. And so sometimes that's from an audio, sometimes that's from a TV show or a friend, or often what our loved ones and our closest to us have been telling us for years we can't hear, and then someone, you know, an old school teacher you bump into, they say something to you and it means it suddenly hits.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. We're going to go to the news, but we'll be back after with lots more interesting conversation.
Thames Valley. This is Marlow FM 97.5.
Sky News Centre at 11, sexual abuse allegations against Mohammed Al-Fayed add up to one of the worst cases of corporate sexual exploitation the world has ever seen. That's according to the legal team who are working with some of the alleged victims of the former owner of Harrods.
I have never seen a case as horrific as this. This case combines some of the most horrific elements of the cases involving Jimmy Savile, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein. We will say it plainly, Mohammed Al-Fayed was a monster.
That's Dean Armstrong from Maitland Chambers. More than 20 women have come forward with allegations of rape, sexual assault and unwanted physical examinations. The current owner of Harrods says they are appalled by the abuse allegations and claims the organisation is very different today. Specialist teams of domestic violence experts are going to be part of 999 call centres in England and Wales from next year. It's after a woman was murdered by her ex-partner in 2018, despite calling officers several times. The chair of the COVID-19 Vaccine Damage Parliamentary Group says it's ridiculous people suffering complications from the jab are waiting for compensation. Sir Chris Choke says around 360 people are waiting for payment. He says it's unjust because the disablement level is a proxy for someone who's lost a limb in a work accident.
It doesn't cover the situation of victims of COVID-19 vaccines, many of whom have suffered strokes or other disabling conditions which are related to autoimmune responses.
The government says the COVID inquiry will consider reforms. Government borrowing jumped last month by more than expected, rising to $13.7 billion. It's linked to higher spending on public services because of increased running costs and pay rises. And thunderstorms are predicted to batter much of England and Wales this lunchtime. The Met Office has issued 2 yellow weather warnings. That's the latest. I'm Laura Safe.
Marlow FM 97.5.
Looking for a local trustworthy builder? Then look no further than NK Building Services. Everything from extensions, refurbishments and renovations to bathrooms, kitchens and landscaping, serving the surrounding area and up to a 30-mile radius of Marlow. For a free estimate, contact NK Building Services on 07984 372 261. That's 07984 372 261.
Choctober is back for the month of October, but could you do it? We want you to give up chocolate for 1 month and support kidney patients who are not allowed to eat chocolate any time of the year. Fancy taking part? Visit kidney.org.uk. Drop the choc this October. Visit kidney.org.uk.
Vibrant, get you up and moving song.
Yeah, I've got a little playlist, a little Spotify playlist. I've called it Shift Your State. And the whole idea is it's about all the songs on that playlist are about shifting. Actually, that's one of them on them.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about changing the state you're in. Your physical state is such an obvious way of changing it so that you can be more Higher vibe and higher energy.
Yeah.
There's a really great TED talk where they talk about that, and this idea that we can, our mental state is also affected by our physical state, and our physical state affects our mental state. They do have a relationship. So yeah, there's a reason why putting on your favourite song and having a dance makes you feel better, because
even
actually
if you don't feel like you want to necessarily at the start.
Yeah. It's really.
I do often use that with when I'm working with families with young babies, and perhaps the babies are getting unregulated and it's very difficult. So sometimes babies can get quite stuck in a state, so they might be crying and there's nothing anyone can do to stop them. And one of the things I often say is change the scenery, so go outside or come inside, or you know, change to a different room. And it's just about that change, isn't it? Or sometimes just put them in the bath. Water's amazing. Music, put music on, sing to them. It's exactly that, isn't it? It's changing the state that you're kind of a bit stuck in to enable you to kind of shift.
Dr. Rowe taught me a really good one, that if you just bounce on the balls of your feet, that changes your state quite a lot, and it helps your energy go up. So,
do you think that's got any kind of relation to sort of reflexology, pressure, and acupressure? Sorry, I put you on the spot. There, but I'm just
probably.
I wonder if it does.
Yeah.
Because it's but it's also just changing the way you're standing.
Yeah, I think there is definitely physical things you can do to help change your state. But I was thinking more kind of subtle ones you could do in the loo before a job interview or whatever. Mm. So Amy Cuddy, the lady who I'm talking about for the TED Talk, a really amazing TED Talk she's done quite a few years ago, she talks about the Wonder Woman pose. Have you heard of that?
No.
So the idea is you stand with your feet hip width apart and your hands on your hip like Wonder Woman. And you just allow your body to, you know, accept that position and accept that stance, and you settle into it, and your confidence will grow. Mm-hmm. Your feeling about yourself will grow, your sense of well-being. So there are, like, physical positions we can put ourselves in that make us more confident. And actually, a lot of them we'll find we kind of know subconsciously anyway. Body language is kind of intuitive. But there are ones you can deliberately. So I suppose what I'm really interested in, which is one of the reasons why I love Singing Mamas so much, is we are all going to have a bad day. We're going to have a bad day. But what can we do to make that bad day slightly better?
Mm. What can we do?
What can we do? Well, coming to Singing Mamas is a really good example.
Like a thing, yeah.
There are loads of things that we can do. Feel empowered. Educate yourself on how you can get yourself out of bed, you know, how you can get yourself out the house when it just seems so impossible. There are things you can do, and everyone's different, so what might work for me might not work for you. But yeah, just feel hopeful.
I guess, you know what, I've been listening to you guys lapping it up, but at the same time I've been thinking it can feel like a bit of a minefield, all these different sort of strategies of ways of making you feel better. And I think what I'm taking from it is, like, you can start really small. Like, it can be something as simple as, I don't know, making sure I get that coffee, or making sure I get, you know, or making sure I put my bare feet on some grass today. You know,
yeah,
like, something
really
as simple
amazing,
as that. And then you can grow from that. Because it can feel a bit, I love the language you're using and everything, but, like, when, as a person who maybe hasn't explored that, some of our listeners might not have explored that. That can maybe feel a bit intimidating, like, what are all these words that we're using here? But sometimes it can just be quite easy to just go back to basics. And it's just one thing that I like to do, and that can, you know, especially when you're a busy mum with, like, a little baby, or, you know, two under four or whatever like that, you know, something small can reset you, maybe.
Yeah.
And sometimes just seeing somebody else, getting together with
pick up that phone and message that friend.
It can be hard, can't it, to do that sometimes.
Put that video on, you know, the video that always makes you laugh. Mm. Put that, have it on your, have it easy reach, that video that always
That's
makes
a good
you
idea.
Laugh.
Tell us again, because we talked about it off air, those five, the NHS five things for well-being.
Yeah.
I like them.
Mm, thank you. So I mentioned that Kate Valentine, her background is nursing. So she's very aware of the NHS and the structure and the power of the NHS, but also the limitations of such a big organisation. And so part of the growth of Singing Mamas is the recognition that we receive from the NHS that it does satisfy the five steps to wellbeing. So it offers, coming to a Singing Mamas group offers you an opportunity to connect.
Okay, and that's number one from the five. Connection,
and that will lift your wellbeing. That will allow you to change your state. Yeah, yeah, because you're not. I think when people are struggling, I think often it's quite an insular, inward-looking thing, isn't it? But if you put yourself amongst others, and you are connecting, then it does encourage you to have that more open out sense, doesn't it? Number two, physically active.
Oh yeah, so singing. You're working your lungs, your diaphragm. I imagine, you tell me.
Well, yeah, and everyone's got their own abilities, haven't they? So it might be that you're just going to be sitting in this session and maybe tapping your knee. Maybe you don't even feel able to sing yet, and that's absolutely fine. Come as you are. In fact, we've got a song, Come As You Are. Come as you are, just show up, and that's the first thing. The first step is just to show up, and it may be that you just need to just show up every week, you know, for 6 months before you feel able to sing. But the fact you're coming, you know, you're choosing to be in that room, and therefore we want you to get value from it. We want you to, you are so welcome in whatever way you are. Come, you know what I mean? So yeah, physically active, whatever that might be for you. New skills, yeah. So
hello.
Switching the brain on.
Yeah. Learning a song.
Yeah, I mean,
trying out harmonies. Maybe.
Maybe depending. Number four, giving to others.
I think that's really powerful.
It's really beautiful, isn't it?
And not everybody has, not everyone has the capacity at always, do they? But at some point, it is a really good way of, feeling like you're giving back. Perhaps.
But you know,
it could be subtle though, couldn't it?
Yeah, Jenny, you were saying about how a group, you might not feel you need the group, but the group needs you. So as someone that's present, you can give so much to, as a peer, as another mum, connecting with another mum. You could make that person's day without even realising it.
If you see someone without a smile, give them yours.
You're
like a little ray of sunshine. I think you just need to follow everybody around, reminding them of all these things.
Honestly, Emily, it's been a work in progress. Aww. I've been working very hard at my inner work, my inner speaker, the way I talk about myself, the way I speak to myself, the way I show up. I'm really, some days I can't get out of bed. Some days it is a challenge. And so how can I make sure that I'm doing the best I can? And that if I can help someone with one of these things that I've learned, one of these analogies, one of these phrases, then it was worth it. Mm-hmm. That chapter was worth it if I can help this person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's really important.
We haven't done the last one.
Do the last one, yeah.
Present, being present. And I'd like to talk about, so it is connect, physical activity, new skills, giving to others, and being present.
That's really, again, really important. We're just going to have another one of your songs, and then perhaps we can talk about that being present as well after. A Million Dreams, Pink.
Oh, yeah. So this is dedicated to the women in my life that have been real cheerleaders for me and real visionaries. So, I guess this song to me is about being a visionary. So you can see something that is possible even before it exists. There's a really beautiful affirmation that Gabrielle Bernstein says, I keep dreaming even when I can't see the results. And so there are, maybe I'll mention their names on the other side of the song, but there are some women in my life who have just really just kept their vision of what is possible true. And with that, that has helped me keep going, even when I can't see it for myself. And this song is dedicated to them.
Beautiful.
Close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me, that I call my own. Through the dark, through door through where no one's been before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care if they call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design.
Really beautiful and very moving for you, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I actually remember seeing a brief snippet of Pink talking about her daughter and how she speaks to her daughter and the lesson she wants her daughter to instill from, you know, in regards to confidence and how she sees herself in this world. And so there's something that really resonated with me, this idea of, you know, how we speak to our children really, it can really become a belief, it can really be strong.
And
what I'm seeking in my world is people with integrity and people who really stand with that integrity, with that belief and that vision. And yeah, and that's one of the reasons I think I love Kate Valentine so much, because her vision around Singing Mamas is so strong and she does have such authenticity. But in the past, I've had some really challenging chapters. I actually run a network marketing company the brand is Arbonne, a really incredible brand, and actually I've had a really challenging chapter 2016-2017, and it's those people that I knew through Arbonne who just really carried me, and they really like lifesavers. And one of the leaders in particular, Sarah Dunning, she's just got married, so Sarah Dunning, Sarah Ibester, I don't know what to call her. She has such a huge global organization, and yet she still finds the time to really connect with each person in her team, and really she's just the perfect balance of a astute visionary businesswoman and a heart-led leader who really listens to what you're challenging with and what you're working on, and really offers a genuine, authentic guidance. And it's like, you know, like I said, I've worked in pretty much every industry, and the network marketing industry is just like on it, no other, because you're all, you know, there to learn and to build your own business. It's like you're in business for yourself, but you're not by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those people. There's also another woman who became a very close friend of mine, Anna West, who I met through the same business. And yeah, it's almost like she's a big sister, you know what I mean? It's that kind of friendship that really...
I think that comes back again, doesn't it, to everything we've talked about today. So, you know, your best friend and how she supported you, the groups, that, you know, your singing mama groups, postnatal support groups, and people being there to help support new parents or anybody going through a tough time. I think, you know, it's community, isn't it? It's huge.
Yeah.
As a support for anybody going through anything.
I also think that sometimes when we're struggling, there's a lack of self-worth there. There's a lack of belief that we deserve someone to hold our hand. Mm. We don't really, you know, a mum with a little one might think, who am I to give myself 90 minutes to go to a singing group that's for me? Mm. Who am I to
find... Because they can lose their identity quite often once they have children.
Yeah.
And that I guess that gives them that back, doesn't it, when they come to something like singing mama?
Yeah. In my life, I've witnessed a lot of struggling in that chapter, you know, the postnatal depression, the overwhelm. And although I don't have children myself yet, I'm very aware that it's, you know, a possibility for me to find that I'm in that position. And I think that that's one of the reasons why Singing Mama's really resonated with me. I'm creating this space for women so that when I need it, it's there too.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Forward thinking, and not many people think forward like that.
Well, like Sophia said, often the focus is on birth, and not much focus on after, and actually planning ahead, planning for your postnatal side is actually really important, because again, coming back to your village, and because so many of us now don't have family nearby, you know, life is very different now, and that's, you know, where I find a lot of families, they have to buy in support because they don't have family. Like we
so I think that every family is different, and the way we evolve and the way we ask for support can be challenging, and the big thing is accepting it, isn't it? Accepting the support. Yeah. Sometimes it's, you know, but I think what really resonated with me about the Singing Mamas is this idea that it's really subtle. It's a really subtle way of creating a support group. It's not a actual support group.
Yeah.
It's not. The focus isn't your mental health. It's like the mental health support is your secret little advantage, you know? It sounds like you're going to sing a few songs, but actually, there's loads of science behind it. I don't know if you know, but, you know, singing with someone else activates the oculus in your ear, and so there's a resonation within your body that is different when you're singing alongside someone else.
Wow.
It's an oculus.
It's a little thingy in your ear.
In your ear. A thingy. I love it.
Can I Google that? Yeah.
Well, an oculus to me is a headset that my son wears. It's like a VR headset. So when you say oculus, but I'm wondering whether that's the name.
Have you heard of the vagus nerve?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm really interested in the vagus nerve and how my mental health is connected to my gut health.
Yeah.
And with that isn't just about, you know, the way I'm what I'm eating and the knock-on effect of that. So let's go back to what we mentioned earlier, that your physical stance and your physical body can affect your emotions. So you can change your state. So the food you're eating and your gut health can affect your mental state. And that also includes any medication you might have been on or any potential, perhaps you've been on antibiotics. And there could be real reasons why you're feeling bad today, why you're feeling rough today. Mm. And so how can we kind of almost separate ourselves from the part of us that feels sad or the part of us that feels unworthy of seeking support and seeking help? How can we step away from that and say, well, actually, these are things I can do that can help me feel better later? So, for example, maybe coffee isn't the right thing for us. You know, maybe we need to know that if we have coffee, we're going to plummet afterwards. And so we need to cut down on the coffee. I used to be really naughty about having sugar really first thing in the morning. And if we can have, you know, protein in the morning, so this is going off another tangent, but there are things that we can do. And this is another analogy. So there are four different states of awareness. So the first state would be unconscious incompetence, which is where we're unconsciously making bad decisions. We're incompetent, try not to take it personally, but we're unconsciously just getting on with it. We're making mistakes, for example, coffees and
carbs,
sugar
in the morning,
and then we're kind of aware of it, so we become more conscious, but we're still incompetent. We still can't do it properly. We still can't give ourselves the extra time we need in the morning to have the breakfast we should have, or to give ourselves time to meditate, or whatever it might be. And then the next stage is we're making ourselves doing it. We are getting up in the morning, giving ourselves 5 minutes to be a bit more mindful, or getting ourselves a healthier breakfast. But it's really hard work. We've really got to be conscious about it. We've got to be focused. And then the golden place, the place we all want to be, is unconsciously competent. We want to be in this place where it's second nature. And that just brings me back to this idea of habit stacking. So you clean your teeth every day, right?
Yeah,
at least twice a day, I hope. Lovely.
Absolutely.
Lovely. So when you're cleaning your teeth, can you give yourself a high five? Can you put post-it notes on your mirror so that you give yourself an affirmation when you clean your teeth? So if you can match a good, healthy habit with something you're already doing, they call it habit stacking, then you can create small change over time, and that's all you need. One small, healthy habit over time.
Amazing. And it's worth mentioning that I think you're just so knowledgeable in this area. It's an incredible...
Jack of all trades, master of none.
No, I don't believe that. And on socials, you have a sort of wellness, don't you?
Yeah, Jennifer Hall, Healthy Habits, that's me. And that's because I do have so many interests, and I am so passionate about all the different elements that make us human. And there's no one size fits all. And there's no one career that fits me. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. I'm gonna have lots of stuff going on. And so, yeah, that can get confusing with the marketing. But, you know, that's who I am and that's how I show up. And so hopefully with that, something will resonate with you and maybe I can help you too.
Amazing. This morning has been incredible talking to you. I'm so grateful for you coming in. I'm really, really sorry that we didn't also have Zoe. And I do hope you feel better soon, Zoe. We're actually handing over to the wonderful Abby Morris, who's going to do the last half an hour, and she's actually going to be talking about anxiety in children, particularly with the return to school, which is very apt in September. Unfortunately, I have to go to a very important meeting at my son's school, but obviously this is a parenting show, so I'm sure everybody will understand that. Abby very kindly has offered to finish the show for me. But it's been amazing having you in.
Jennifer. I am so really coming grateful. To your group.
Oh, is it in Princess Risborough? Yeah, the yoga barn. In Princess Risborough. Mm-hmm. It's 11 to 12:30 because we need to give ourselves time for cake, right?
Okay.
You can check it out on my website. My website is www.jenniferhall.net, and then it's /singingmamas. And then you can book yourself your free taster. Everyone can come for free to start with. Because I really want you to be in the room and experience it for yourself.
I really want to check it out.
Do come. And please bring friends. You know, like I said, it takes a village. You don't necessarily need to be a mama to join the Singing Mamas, because it's about creating this beautiful space.
Amazing. And thank you so much, Sophia, as well, for coming in
Pleasure.
See you
next month.
Thank you. See you all next month.
Thank you.
7.5. You're tuned to the parenting program on Good Morning Marlowe 97.5. I'm Abby. I'm going to be taking you up to the top of the hour until midnight. So how are you? Have you got children in school? How have you found getting them back to school? Has it been an easy transition? Have you got children maybe starting at secondary school? You know, I've been to an NCT meeting with some friends of mine that we've been friends for over a decade now, and we talk about our children's journeys and our journeys as parents, obviously talking to other parents, because one of my children have just moved up into secondary school. And also I've been talking to parents at primary school. I've got a child in primary school as well, and how some of the children, when they settle back into the new year, aren't always happy with the teacher, or there's various anxieties about going back to school. I don't know, have you experienced anxiety in your child with this transition back? It's a real mixed bag. Some are super happy, hit the ground running, others not so. And if your child has always been happy at school and all of a sudden this September you've been put in a situation where you feel that they are anxious and things aren't easy, this can sometimes quite affect the home life as well and create anxiety in you as a parent as well. So I'm going to be giving you a few tips and talking a little bit about how you can help a child who could be suffering from anxiety, particularly about going back to school. I'm going to play you this track. This is a Get Lucky by Daft Punk, and on the other side of that I'll be bringing you your tips.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginning. What keeps the planet spinning? The force of the beginning.
We're up all night to get lucky.
lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
Marlow FM 97.5, you're tuned to the parenting programme this morning on Good Morning Marlow. And right now I'm here to give you some tips on how to help a child if they're feeling anxious about going back to school, or just general anxiety if this is something that's affecting your child, your home. First of all, try to talk openly and honestly about your child's feelings. Sometimes they can come to us with things that we really don't want to hear, and trying to sort of avoid talking about things is not always a good thing. If you can actually really get them to feel good about honestly expressing their feelings and what's going on, you will be able to gauge much better and in a bit more depth of what's triggering anxiety in them, and can possibly take appropriate action if any is needed, or just help them through managing a situation and teaching them a little bit of tolerance to help diminish the anxiety. You can also provide reassurance that they are safe and that they are loved. Your love is a really big thing to a child, to be reassured that they're loved and that they are safe, and that sometimes, you know, things do go on in life, but they are okay and they can cope with situations. You can help them develop skills to cope with their stress. You will know what works for your child, what makes them feel happy, what coping mechanisms would work best for them, and also provide them with some emotional support. I think the thing is a lot of parents are pretty drained with this very fast-paced life that we all live in, and this is just another thing to have to deal with if you're experiencing it, and it can also not be very pleasant for the parent as well. However, you know, giving that time, the emotional support, and allowing them to talk is quite helpful. And you can both then work on some practical strategies together of what could make things better and a little bit of resolve. It may be necessary to find the right professional to help if the child needs it, but do cheer them on for their achievements. It's quite easy if a child's feeling anxious or is upset about something, sort of very much side with school, or be a little bit dismissive or just get on with it, and there is an element of that which is healthy, you know, for them to get on with it a little bit, but cheering them on for their achievements and making them feel good about themselves is also quite helpful if they are feeling a bit anxious about being in a new classroom or a new school. And you acknowledge their fears and offer comfort rather than sort of dismissing what is going on. These things are just very comforting and can help at bedtime if you're having particularly difficult bedtimes with the child having a bit of an anxious disposition. Okay, I've got a couple of really nice tracks for you, and then I will come back with a couple of other tips as well from the Child Mind Institute before we hit the 12 o'clock Sky News.
There was a time I used to look into my father's eyes. In a happy home, I was the king, I had a golden throne. Those days are gone, now the memory's on the wall. I hear the songs from the places where I was born. Upon a hill across the blue lake, that's where I had my first heartbreak. I still remember how it all changed. My father said, don't you worry, child. She has a start a plan for you. Don't you worry, child.
Tune to Marlowe FM 97.5. Good morning, Marlowe. This is a parenting programme. I was just talking about anxiety in children, possibly with starting a new term, being in a new environment, possibly a new school, obviously, you know, moving up a year with new teachers, and how to manage that anxiety. I've got some tips here from the Child Mind Institute. And one of the things that they feel is quite important in managing any type of anxiety in your child is to express positive but realistic expectations. Therefore, it's wise to not promise the child that what they fear won't happen, that you know they won't fail a test or something, but do express confidence that they'll be able to manage whatever happens, because if you have confidence, it gives them confidence. You know, they can reflect you a little bit. Anxiety at its core is about a difficulty tolerating the unknown and uncertainty. So when we promise children that their fear won't happen, we're giving them a false sense of certainty, which is not only potentially untrue, it also can feed the anxiety. Instead, it's best to send the message that they can handle the situation. They've got this, you know, no matter what happens, to make them feel, you know, a little bit better in themselves, almost empowering. However, you can respect their feelings, but it's important, don't empower them too much. You know, validating feelings doesn't mean agreeing all the time with your child. So if a child is terrified about going to the doctor or school or something, do listen and be empathetic, but encourage them to feel that they can face their fears, they can do this. So there's various things that you can say in different situations. If you'd like to go to childmind.org, that's childmind.org, there is lots of information there about various things that, you know, your child could be dealing with at the moment, and you might need a little bit of assistance and guidance, particularly if it's not ever happened before in your parenting world. Okay, it's also very important not to reinforce the child's fears. However, you know, sometimes, like I said before, action does need taken in various situations. So if you do have to take action, I know it can be a bit draining and exhausting, but, you know, it just has to be done. It's important to create opportunities for communication with your children. If you've got older children, maybe doing the washing up together, if they possibly would. You might have to bribe them a little bit of money or something. I don't know if bribing is good parenting or not. Probably not. It's an opportunity, though, to get together and chat while you're doing something. However, using the avoidance as a coping mechanism is not a good thing, whether that's avoiding talking about it or avoiding situations that do induce anxiety in your child. You cannot avoid school. You know, that's where I think talking things through is a really good idea. Talking about something like what would happen if a fear came true, how would they handle it? You know, for kids, having a plan to reduce the uncertainty in a healthy, effective way is also very helpful as well. And, you know, try to model healthy ways of handling anxiety. There is lots of information on the Child Mind Institute. That's childmind.org. If you need any information on helping your child through this transitional phase back at school, or it might be something else completely different, which is relating to a little bit of anxiety going on with your child. I find that it is important to chat with kids. You just learn so much about them when you talk about their day. Not that all parents can do that. They can be very, very busy at work, but just making a small space, even if it's not washing up, just a, you know, a nice chat about how are you, what's going on, can be helpful, and to listen and help. This next track I've got for you, this is Sunshine. You're tuned to Mallow FM 97.5. The parenting programme, taking up to the top of the hour, is me, Abby Morris.
Your sunshine, shining down on. Your sunshine, shining down on. Your sunshine, shining down on.
It's so hard to hide. Shining down on all your sunshine.
all of your sunshine, all of your sunshine shining down on me. I just feel this way. Look around, hoping that you feel the same. Feels so good to be the one who's holding you. All of my sunshine. Your sunshine, your sunshine shining down on all of your sunshine, all of your sunshine, all of your sunshine shining down on your sunshine, your sunshine, your sunshine shining down on all of your sunshine, all of your sunshine. The sunshine shining down on me. It's so high, it's so loud with the joy. You are everything now that I love
you. Sunshine. That was Teeks featuring Dan Harkner. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed today's parenting program on Good Morning Marlow. I'd like to thank Emily Giver and also Sophia and Jennifer, her two brilliant guests who were on air earlier. If you would like to listen again to the show, you can go to marlowfm.co.uk, go to Listen Again and Good Morning Marlow, the 20th of September, and you can listen again there. In fact, to any of our shows. If you would like, just to summarise what I've been talking about today, in the last half an hour, I've been looking at some tips for parenting anxious children or a child that might just temporarily be having an anxious time. The top 10 tips are: don't try to eliminate the anxiety, don't avoid things just because they make a child anxious, express positive but realistic expectations, and respect their feelings but don't empower them. And number 5 is: don't ask leading questions, don't reinforce the child's fears, be encouraging, try to keep the anticipatory period short, think things through with the child and talk to them, and try to model healthy ways of handling anxiety. If you need a little bit of help with this, you can go to childmind.org and there'll be lots of information there to help you if you need any assistance at all. Coming up next on today's Marlow FM schedule, you'll be joined by Paul Mansell, and he'll be bringing you the Eclectic Light Show. Right now, it's time for your Sky News.